Welcome to Locust Grove Church. I am Pastor Joe Brazino, and we're going to do a little Bible study, continue our Bible study on God, the Holy Spirit. This evening, we're going to do an approach of highlighting the helping ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives as believers. So before we proceed any further, let's go ahead and pray, shall we? Gracious Father, what an honor it is to come together to get as your people, Lord, even if it is through technology, and we thank you for the media and technology and being able to connect at least temporarily for these next days, weeks, hopefully not months, Lord, but to connect with each other around your word. And we thank you for that privilege, Lord. We thank you, Father, for making this Holy Spirit even more real to us in our hearts and in our minds. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. Well, if you have your Bible with you, I would encourage you to have your Bible with you so you don't think I'm pulling these scriptures out of the air. We're going to look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and let me kind of give you a little bit of review. Last week we spoke of the helper. Jesus promised his disciples that he would send a helper, that it was more advantageous for them that Jesus go to heaven so that he can in turn send the helper to them. Now if you were one of the disciples, you've got to admit with me that was shocking news. First of all, they must have been pretty uneasy and frightful. Concerned deeply that Jesus was going to leave them. And then while Jesus is trying to reassure them that he was going to give them another comforter, another helper. That word another in the Greek language means another of the same kind. In other words, I'm going to send another one of me to you, is what Jesus told the disciples. I want to say it's not a different, as in a different flavor or a different color or a different characteristic or character altogether. No, it's going to be a continuation of me in a different capacity. And he said, it's advantageous because if I go to the Father, then I will send you this comforter, this helper, this counselor. We said that the word for that in the Greek, for the word comforter, helper, counselor, I take all those three from different translations, is the Greek word parakletos, which simply means one called alongside us to help us. So off of that definition, we see that the Holy Spirit is truly a helper. Last week, we looked at the counseling ministry of the Holy Spirit. Tonight, we're going to look at the helping ministry of the Holy Spirit. All right? So if you're with me here in John chapter 15, read with me in verse 26, please. But when the helper comes, whom I shall send you to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he, the Holy Spirit, will testify of me. And you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, I love that. I love that Jesus calls the Holy Spirit a helper. Now, can you pause with me and think, is there anybody in your life that is a helper to you, that is throughout the years has been a helper to you, that helps you in your difficult times, that helps you when you're down, that helps you when you're struggling? You know, we all need friends like those, but I'm telling you, there's nobody better than the Holy Spirit. You know, since we've started this kind of extended series on the Holy Spirit, I've paused and really have given a lot of thought to how critical of a role the Holy Spirit has played in my faith journey since I was 15, just a couple of days shy of 16 years old, and how he continues to do that. And I'm ever so thankful that he truly is a helper. So here we see it calls the Holy Spirit the helper. Now think with me, have there ever been tough times in your lives when you needed help? I know I can think of a lot of them, but tonight I came prepared to share one particular incident in my life, and it was a very, probably, I can honestly say, the most difficult stretch of ministry that I've ever done, and it lasted, probably 4 months, 4 to 6 months. And it was what had happened. Let me kind of set the backstage or set the stage for you, kind of give you the backstory leading up to the story. We had committed, a lot of our resources to praying. We had converted one of the rooms in the church building. Particular, we called it a prayer room, and people could go there and pray. And, you know, we kind of started leading the charge, meeting regularly and praying for the church, and praying for spiritual protection and praying for spiritual growth within the church, praying for our community needs, etc., etc. And then we had also, begun some community outreach. So we wanted to be kind of mobilizing the troops, as it were. And at the same time, we had begun to transition from strictly a traditional service that only required hymn singing to a more blended service of some hymns sprinkled in with some choruses. And at first, it didn't seem like anybody opposed it. It seemed like people were buying into that plan of transitioning to more of a worship blend. The church bought a clavinova, and so we had the organ, the piano, clavinova, and sometimes we had guitars, and it was a real blessing to see that. And then, for whatever reason, out of the clear blue, some people begin to complain about this style. And I found, if you can keep people to focus on issues, those conflicts that we have based on issues are very resolvable. It's when the conflict goes from the issues to personalities, then that's where the enemy gets a foothold in, and then all kinds of chaos can be seen in a particular church scenario like that. You know, it jogs my mind to James chapter 3, where there is bitter envy and strife, selfish ambition, the NIV says. There is confusion and every evil work. And I've seen it play out in churches. I've seen the family of God. I've seen brothers and sisters in Christ lose it. I've seen them truly give place to the devil more than he should have had. He should have none. But thus began a church war, a worship war in that particular church. I was young. I was immature. I certainly was not told about this in seminary or at the university that I went to. I was not taught it. There is no manual. You know, I'm sure that when a soldier is in a foxhole, they're not trained. I mean, what do you do when bullets are flying over your head? And so I felt very in over my head in this particular situation. It got to the point that we were on the verge of a church split over the worship style. It was sad, truly. It was sad to see God's people become bitter, become antagonistic, become unbending, and not trying to compromise. You know, we had the former pastor that I had preceded in ministry there. He lived in the town, and he went to the church, and he stepped in because he was a real good peacemaker, and they wouldn't listen to him. And we lost a couple of families when it was all said and done. And I remember through it all, you know, that we had meeting after meeting, and with every meeting of church leaders over this particular issue, I was just exhausted from all it seemed like this issue consumed all of my energy, spiritual energy, emotional energy, physical energy. I was drained. And it seemed like with every subsequent meeting that we had as leaders, that we just agreed to disagree. And it seemed like the more we met, the less we liked each other. It was a horrible scenario. You know, if you've had people talk about worship wars, they are real. And I've seen the enemy get a foothold on that. You know, well, All of this, long story, I mean, I could write a book just about this scenario. Long story short, I was depressed. I was ready to quit ministry altogether. I didn't need this. This is not what I signed up for. I feel I have the calling of God in my life, but I was not going to try to babysit believers that were having tantrums and getting personal to the point that they used colorful language with each other. And let me say, that has no place with the children of God. Amen. And I was ready to quit ministry for the first time in my stint of being a full-time pastor. And I can't tell you how demoralized I felt. I had begun looking for secular jobs for a couple reasons. I feared that people were going to blame me. You know, it seems like when you're a leader, the blame always rises to the top. And I thought that they were going to pin the blame on me because I had both sides on the issue had valid points. So I was validating the point on one side, but I was also validating the point on the other side. So anyway, I remember my younger brother, who lived in El Paso, Texas at the time. He now lives in Florida. He invited me and my family to come down, just get away for a while and just spend time, just step away from ministry for about a week. And I said, sure, I think that sounds good. So I had not taken vacation in a long time at that church. I had had weeks piled up of vacation that I had not taken. So I thought it was a good move. So anyway, so we were down there. And I remember every morning, while it was still early morning, it was like June. I think it was either May or June. And I would take my Bible and go to a little gazebo there at the condominium that my brother and his wife and his family lived in. And I would just read my Bible in the cool of the morning there, out there in the desert in the Southwest. And I was just seeking God, and I was just praying. And I said, Lord, you've got to help me. Holy Spirit, you've got to help me. You've got to help me. And I remember I would do this day after day, morning after morning. And one morning, I kid you not, the helper stepped in and highlighted a verse of scripture in the Bible that really, it was the first moment that I had a shred of hope that things were going to be okay. Because honestly, if you just ask me, there was no hope. There was no way out. Thank God I've learned from that. And I'll never find myself in that place again thinking there's no way out, when Jesus said, I am the way. Amen? Jesus is the way. So anyway, I was reading in Ephesians chapter 1, and I had read a verse in there that said something to the effect that God will bring all things to the conformity of His will. When I read that, I read it again, and I read it again because it jarred my thinking, and it grabbed my attention, God saying, look, all this is happening right now, but I'm able to bring it to the conformity of my will. And let me encourage you here, as you're watching, God is able to bring the coronavirus to the conformity of His will. Can I get a witness, please? Amen? God is able to bring that to the conformity of His will. So that gave me hope. That gave me a spiritual spark of hope and renewed energy, spiritual energy, to go back and to try to solve it. Well, over a course of weeks, we ironed that out. We were so busy helping our community and trying to be a blessing to our community that all this fighting, infighting, kind of dwindled. It was weird. It's funny how when you give the church a mission and they buy into the mission, all of a sudden these differences seem to fall by the wayside. But I'll never forget what the Holy Spirit did for me, excuse me, as a pastor then, as a young pastor in my early 30s. Oh my gosh. I probably should have been still in school learning more, but I was in the heat of the battle. But anyway, I'll never forget what the Holy Spirit did for me. He helped me at that time when I saw no way out and I was genuinely depressed. And I said, God, I thank you for this solution that you've given me. And I want to encourage you with that. The Holy Spirit is your helper. Don't just get the stuffing, the spiritual stuffing, get beat out of you by the devil. No, take up the sword and allow the Holy Spirit to help you and give you strength in your fight. Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this lesson. And I pray that it be a blessing and a source of encouragement to all of us, Lord, in our faith journey with you, Lord Jesus. And we pray for your peace. We pray for spiritual energy for those who are struggling, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus that you minister strength and help by the Holy Spirit to them. In Jesus we pray. Amen.